If you have your Bibles, I want you to find them. We're in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible with you in the pew, you'll find a pew Bible. And I encourage you to find the Gospel of Luke. A very familiar text, but you know it's not found in Matthew's Gospel. This particular story of Jesus is not found in the Gospel of John, nor is it found in Mark. And so it always is interesting to me, and I wonder, why did Luke remember this occasion and this story? Though the other gospel writers did not remember it or did not care to write it and share it, Luke did. And so I hope you have your Bibles. You're familiar with the story. It's the same story that the children are working through in their worship guide this morning. Luke chapter 10, only five verses, chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to all he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, dear Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and this will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Why don't we go back? I wish we could really see this story as it began to happen in that day. I would like for us to hear all that was happening in Mary and Martha's home. I wish we could smell the meal that was being cooked and could even reach out and sit at Jesus' feet. I think it had been a long day. Most scholars believe that this occasion that Luke is telling about was toward the very end, maybe even the last week of Jesus' life. He had been in Galilee, had been all around Nazareth. The crowds had grown and grown, and everywhere that Jesus went, it seemed to see the crowds were more so than the day before. He was making his way up to Jerusalem, and here he comes to Bethany. He was hot and tired, and healing all the ministry, the things that needed to be done. The crowds were so immense, and he had so much to tell them. He knew his days were numbered. He would be going to Calvary's cross and then back to the Father. Did they understand? Oh, how much he wanted them to understand. But he's in Bethany, and suddenly, as he enters Bethany, his steps seem lighter. He walks more determined than ever, for he knows that in Bethany on this night, he will end up at Mary and Martha's home. Mary and Martha's home. He loved these friends. It seems that all the gospel writers talk a special way when they talk about Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were real friends. Jesus, who had not his own home, oh, but this was a home. A home for him, a special place. That place where he really could take his sandals off and leave them off and loosen his tunic. Their home was his home. And here he shows up. Jesus and his apostles, they all come into the house. They greet, they yell, they begin to find their place to sit and relax. Oh, to be home. Mary and Martha's home. Two sisters, same parents it seems, but they were as different as night and day. Whereas Laurie Hefner and her sister are at two opposite ends of the sanctuary, and I understand they're just a little different from each other. Sisters, but very different. We have a Mary and Martha, sisters in the congregation. Mary Jane and Martha, two sisters. And oh, are they different. But if you're having trouble placing those, just get your mind around Sarah Austin and Karen Foley. You want me to just preach a whole sermon right here, Sarah? Get out from under the pew. I mean, these sisters are different in many, many ways. They are just different girls. Different. And so were Mary and Martha. Unique, special, and Jesus loved them both. He loved them. He loved being in their home. And so here he is. Jesus is sitting there with disciples and followers all around. And here is Mary. Luke reminds us and pictures that she's right at his feet. Can't you see her? She's hanging on every word that he's saying. She is almost mouthing the words, her eyes, her mouth, her ears. She is listening to every word that comes from his mouth. I have to imagine in my imagination that she says, Jesus, tell us again. Tell us again about the man that they moved the shingles from the roof and they let him down and he couldn't walk. Tell us that story. Jesus, what about the little boy? How did he respond when you took his lunch from him and then you multiplied it? Some of the disciples, I think, said, Jesus, tell us about those Pharisees. Those guys are driving us nuts. And they all laughed and made fun of them because Jesus was totally human. Mary hung on every word of Jesus. Total awe, sitting, listening to Jesus. But not Martha. Martha was in the other room. Martha is not sitting. She's not hanging on any word. She is intense. She is distracted only by all the preparations she needs to do. She's in the kitchen. She is not a happy camper. She is glad Jesus came. Jesus and all my rowdy friends are coming over tonight. All of those disciples cram into her house. Plates are flying. Knives are being counted. Forks are being arranged. She is thinking, oh, do I have enough chips? What kind of dip do I make? She looks back in. She counts again. She counts the heads. She thinks of the chairs. Where are the card tables? Where did we put them last? How will we all gather? She counts the forks again. Too many disciples. Did he bring Peter? She looks, oh, Peter's out there. He will mess up everything. She is a hot mess. What to do? I know Mary. Mary can go to Brookshire Brothers. She can go for me. Where is Mary? Mary's sitting. Sitting, listening to Jesus. She goes back to the kitchen. She counts to 10 very slowly. And she keeps counting. She now counts to 20, and she even counts backwards from 20, and boom, she just explodes. She is just beside herself. She goes back from the kitchen, through the living room, walks right by Mary, and just kicks her. And Mary doesn't even notice. Jesus in the midst of a story. Martha arranges some things and walks back and tries to catch her eye. Do you not see? I need you. Mary doesn't even notice. Martha is just there. Maybe it's a pity party. Maybe she's just had too much. Maybe it's just been too much. And so she just explodes and says to Jesus, hello, Lord, do you not care that I'm doing all this work and my sister has left me? She sits here. I have tomatoes to cut up. I have tables to set and sweet tea to brew. And she just sits at your feet. When I read that, I really think what Martha was saying is, I want to sit at your feet. I want to hear the stories. I want to hear that miracle story. I want to hear what you think about the Pharisees. I want to sit at your feet. But there's just so much to do. Lord, make her help me. Now you can just feel the tension in the room. It's thick. It is thick. The apostles are looking around thinking, how do I get out of here? I wish I hadn't come. If they're nearest the door, they just slipped right on out. We've been there. You just think, oh, it's awful hot in here. That perspiration is building. Everyone's just looking. No one is talking. If you could be a furniture piece, you would be right now. If you could crawl under something, you would. Everyone looks at Mary, and they look at Martha, and they look at Jesus. And they look back at Martha, and they look at Jesus, and the disciples, they just look at the ground. What would Jesus say? Jesus, do something, she says. Lord, don't you care? You tell her to help me. And it's silent. I think Jesus was probably hurt. Maybe he and the guys should have sent word they were coming. Maybe they should have all said, let's just sit here and visit, and then we'll all get up and we'll all go to the kitchen and put something together. Or Andrew, you go down to Berkshire Brothers and bring back something, or go to Tomei and pick something up. I don't think Jesus liked that he had been the middle of the sisters' controversy. But then he says, Martha, oh, dear Martha. I think he reached and said, sit down. Sit down with us. Those tears are just about to pop out of her. Mary is scared to death. And Martha, and Jesus says, Martha, dear Martha. Mary did right. Mary has chosen what is better. Few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary did right, and what she did, it can't be taken away from her. Only one thing is needed, Martha, said Jesus. And Mary chose it. The food is nice. Napkins that match the plates and silverware that lines up, that's good. And surely they enjoyed that glass of Dr. Pepper, it was good. Hospitality makes a home very special. Those things were urgent, but they weren't important. Mary chose the good part, one translation says. She chose that which was better, sitting at Jesus' feet. Being with Jesus. Many times when I deliver a message, it has one, two, or three points. I like three points in a poem or quoting a hymn, and it's all good. But these five verses, there aren't three points. It's simply this. We must beware lest we become like Martha. And we get so wrapped up in doing so many good things, in going and doing and going and doing, that we miss the one thing, being with Jesus, becoming who we would want to be, more like Jesus. And we cannot become more like Jesus. We cannot seek after Him if we don't spend time with Him. It's so easy to be distracted by good things. Martha wasn't doing bad things. She was doing what needed to be done, she believed, to make the evening, the day better. It wasn't bad. Yay for food and those who prepare food. Yay for those who go about and do the work. But she missed sitting at the feet of Jesus. They're important things and they're urgent things. And sometimes we get the tyranny of the urgent. Things that we think are so urgent, and we miss the important things. I submit to you that it may be urgent, but in the long run, it's not really that important in my life what happens in the March primaries or even in the general election. I'm concerned about it. I may vote. I will vote. I will do my part. But when it's all said and done, that may be urgent, but it cannot be the most important thing. I've struggled with this all of my ministry, in my life as a pastor, making sure that the urgent and the important, and usually I messed it up. The things that I thought were so important in ministry and in church and in doing church have often not been the important, though they've been urgent. I look back on my, and maybe when you reach 55, you've been doing this for 30 years, you become more reflective, and I apologize. I fought so strongly to keep fundamentalism from overtaking Baptists. I spent years going to conventions and meetings and plotting and planning. Those crazy Pharisaic fundamentalists were destroying what I knew as real Baptist life. Oh, I spent hours and hours, years and years fighting for real Baptists. And I lost. They won. They got the buildings. They got the brick, the mortar, the seminaries. They got it all. What a waste of my time. I still believe in the principles that I was fighting for, but probably I should have just sat at Jesus' feet. Oh, it's not just Baptist things. It's not just Baptist identities and denominations. I think each of us could look in our life on things that we thought were so important that we missed what was really important. Martha, Martha, you're so upset. But Mary chose. It was her choice. Martha could have made the same choice. Mary chose to be with Jesus. First Baptist Church, a place to begin. Unapologetically, we want to be a church where people can begin their walk, their life, their journey with Jesus. A place where people begin by confessing their sin and saying, I want to walk and to have this life with Jesus. Yes, we will be a place of beginning. And yes, as I said last week, may we always be a place where folks belong. A place where anyone can belong, regardless of who they are or where they are or what they've done, what they believe. We want to be a belonging place. And do folks belong first in order that they can begin with Jesus? Or do they begin and then have a sense of belonging, the chicken or the egg? I'm not sure. But all of it must come to, we must be a place where people can be with Jesus. A place where people can become what Jesus would long for us to become. Now, we're about to build a building. We're going to do it. It's going to be right there, and we're going to raise more money. As a matter of fact, between now and June 1, I would love for us to come up with $500,000 more, because when we go to the bank and say we have $1.5 million in cash, as opposed to we have $2 million in cash, it just sounds so much better to me. $2 million. So between now and June, let's dig a little deeper and $500,000. I believe that building will allow us to reach out, to reach more. I am for it, but that is not the most important thing that we will do in the life of our church. I believe in it. I'm for it. But I want to make sure that we not lose focus on being and becoming what God would have us to become. You've heard me speak quite a bit about budgets and buildings. Those are important. Yay for the budget. Yay that we have opportunity to give and support something bigger than we are. And I follow the budget and I follow the finances and the staff. I drive them nuts when we're looking at what we're spending and what's coming in and what's going out. And that is very urgent, but it's not that important at the end of the day as it is to sitting at the feet of Jesus. We fall into a trap. We get so busy. I believe in missions. Right now, Walker and I are looking at a mission opportunity for spring break that we might go and share the hope, the gospel, that we might be the hands and feet of Christ. We're looking at an international mission possibility for our church, whether it's five of us or 10 of us, to reach out to a whole different culture, a whole different unreached people group. That is big. We need to be servants. We need to go and do, but we must not go and do until first we have become what God has called us to be. Once we become a place to become, a place to grow, once we spend time with Jesus, we can't help but go and do missions. We can't help but go and give and build and do, but we must first be with Jesus. I believe that becoming, a place to become, First Baptist Church, a place to become, how do we become? How do we, as Jesus, one of the Beatitudes said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. How do we do that? Worship is important. I hope you realize the importance, the necessity of worship. This morning, to see our teenagers leading us in worship. Each week, the importance of the discipline of worship. That's how we become. It's not we like this variety or we like that. That doesn't matter. It's about being in the presence of God and growing through that experience, becoming worshipers of God. We become as we engage in Bible study, whether that's Sunday morning Bible study or Wednesday nights, when we take God's Word and we learn from each other and we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to teach us and grow us, and we become followers of Christ. Whether it's through the ministry, the disciplines of prayer, or spiritual renewal that happens in your own home, our children on Wednesday nights who are learning about who they are and who they can be as children of God. This past Wednesday night, 33 teenagers were here on Wednesday night. They were singing, they are worshiping, they are learning from Dan. They are busy kids. They began to share their prayer request of UIL activities and papers that were due the next day, Seth, and things they were supposed to do, and ACT and SAT and all those things that were up. They are busy, but for an hour and a half, 32 of them this past Wednesday, for an hour and a half, said that worship and growing and being in Christ was important. There were other things that were pressing. There were other things that were probably urgent. Their parents probably told them, it is very urgent that you clean your room or you may die soon, type of deal. But it was important for them to be at the feet of Jesus. I see signs around town. I'm about finished. Roger Parker is part of the group that makes these wooden crosses, thousands of them every week, and they're picked up not only in this community but all around the nation. Jesus is Lord. I passed the house this week coming to the office, had four of them in the front yard. You know, you can put a cross in your front yard that says Jesus is Lord, and that's good. It doesn't mean it's so. You can put four or eight. You can name it and claim it. It doesn't matter. Unless he really is Lord. I'm not against the cross that has the words Jesus is Lord, but I wonder if some of those folks even know what that means. Jesus cannot be Lord of our life until we sit at his feet. Jesus cannot be Lord of our life until we make sure that we are becoming like him, that we're being with him. First Baptist Church, we must be, and we will continue to be, and we will commit to be even more so, a place to begin and a place that all can belong, and yes, a place where we become grace-filled, compassionate, loving, forgiving, non-judgmental, righteous, longing people that say and believe and live, Jesus is Lord. Jesus be Lord. Jesus lead me, guide me, change me, mold me. This must be a place where we stop at times all of our busyness, all of our good stuff, and we simply sit at Jesus' feet. I'm glad Luke remembered this story. I'm glad Luke shared these five verses. It would change our life. It'll change our church. Mary chose what was better. It won't be taken away. A place to become. Let's sit at Jesus' feet. Shall we pray? Father, help us understand exactly what this means. We're not just going to sit here in this holy huddle and say, look how spiritual we are. We just sit here like a monastic. We just pray. We deny ourselves all this stuff. We just sit here and read and pray and read and worship and pray and never get out and touch lives. That's not what you've called us to do. Nor have you called us just to go out and just to do and just to do until we first have that relationship with you. We have to begin and we have to belong, and yes, we must become. May the tyranny of the urgent not overcome our lives, but may those things that are most important seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Father, we don't want to get behind. We don't want to get in front. We want simply to walk right with you where you would have us go. So many keep missing this. I keep missing it. Oh God, let us spend time with you. Martha did good. She was preparing the meal. Yes, Martha. But she missed sitting at Jesus' feet. When it's all said and done, let us not miss becoming what you want us to become. Convict us, change us, and let us choose that life is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.